you. Thank you, team. Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day. Hey? Yeah. Yesterday was good too. Come on. Weather, movies, doonas, hot drinks. Yes. Amen. I love the rain. The rain is good. Who's a tea person? Cup of tea? Who's tea and coffee? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hey, give it all to me. I remember when I was dating Yvana, I was introduced to chai. And my girlfriend gave me this present, and it was a chai set. And I didn't like chai, but I began to like chai. And then I fell in love with chai. And now I love chai. Chai is so good. Chai has been very good to me over the years. And isn't it amazing, hey, when you're falling in love with someone, you start to fall in love with the things that they love also. You know what? I'm really excited for our day today. It's fun day. It's like an extended family time. We got lunch afterwards. We got today's pancakes and bacon and ice cream and all the good stuff. So don't rush off. Stick around. There's basketball set up and inflatables. And I just enjoy our time in church. You know, you and I, we all do whatever we do during the week. We're all from, you know, living different suburbs and streets and all the stuff going in our own lives. And, you know, there's always stuff happening. But we gather. We are the church. We gather here to encourage, but also to be encouraged. We gather to be encouraged, but also to encourage. We are the church, and this is the start. This is the start of the week. This is like a platform for our week. And so I want to encourage you to try and get as much out of church as you possibly can. And you get out what you put in. And so I want to encourage you, invest into this time, invest into each other. Enjoy being Christian. Enjoy living life. Enjoy the abundant life that Jesus has for us. Let me give you a quick update around a couple of things. Pastor Mark and Chris both had their surgery, and both went well. Praise God. Everything worked out, which is just awesome. And they are in a lot of pain, though, and bedridden. So feel free to text them galore. They will love it. They will respond almost instantaneously, I hope. But I just want to encourage you to reach out to them and tell them that you love them. Last week, Pastor Mark preached that message, Multiply. And man, it has stirred me. And I want to encourage you to let that desire of Jesus that we would produce much fruit, that we would be a people, that we would be a church, that we would be a group of people, that we would be individuals that want to see the kingdom grow, that we desire the kingdom to grow, that his kingdom would come and his will would be done. And I'm so excited. You know, there is so much that's going on in our church. It's awesome. And I know I always share lots of testimonies around what's happening here in Morayfield, but I thought I'm going to share a couple that are happening in our other churches. You know, Redcliffe recently had its biggest Sunday ever. And I just think, praise God for that. It's so exciting. Things are moving. People are coming back to faith. People are coming to faith for the first time. And over in our Warner location, this is so cool. There's a young dad. He was like, you mix atheism and agnosticism like all into one. And that was him. And he's like, God is not real. He just thinks it was all fake and that we were just, you know, we enjoyed the community and the energy in the room and stuff like that. And he's been coming for years and years and years and years and years. And his wife has been praying and praying and praying, beseeching heaven. And this is such a cool story. A couple of weeks ago, he couldn't shake it. And he gives his life to Jesus, heart racing, puts his hand up, chooses Jesus. I cannot deny that there is a God any longer, and willingly gives his life to Jesus. And then 2 weeks ago, which was a week after, he goes out for the front in prayer and God just bowls him over. Just has this epic encounter with God. And you know, I was chatting with someone here a couple of weeks ago who gave their life to God, and one of their questions was, oh, why do people fall over sometimes? I was like, it's actually a really fair question, really good question. And I can explain it like this, that our bodies, they're humans, we are humans and we are frail and weak, the flesh is weak, and sometimes our bodies cannot handle the power of God. And it's only ever a good thing. And it leads me to my last story, testimony for the day for us. A couple of weeks ago, Sunday night, my auntie comes out for prayer, and lay hands on her and pray, and she's believing, and I know what she was believing for. And so I'm praying, and God just, boom, just knocks her out. And she's having this amazing encounter with God. And Tuesday, I'm down in Adelaide with some of our staff. We went to a leadership conference down there, and she rings me, and she goes, Joe, I've got to share this with you. This is so amazing. Like, my tooth was wobbly and I couldn't eat. It was so painful to chew with it. It was awful. Well, on Sunday night, God healed my tooth. And I'm like, no way. She's like, it's not moving. I can chew on it. It doesn't hurt to eat. I'm like, whoa, that's amazing. How good is God? That is awesome. She should have told me the next one first, because then she proceeds to tell me. She's like, and yesterday, so on the Monday, she goes, the doctors gave me a sheet of paper saying that I'm completely disease-free. She was about to start treatment for cancer. God has completely and miraculously healed her. And I'm like bawling my eyes out on the phone call. And then I'm also trying to work out, why didn't you tell me that one first? Start with the awesome one. I'm like, but the tooth is really cool too. And you know what? She's like, Joe, what can I do for him? Like, what can I do? He's done so much for me. And then I'm just still bawling my eyes out. I'm like, just love him. Just do whatever you want to do for him. I don't know, whatever your heart says. And I was a mess. And I come in and Hendrico gives me like this massive big hug. And you know, it was much needed in that moment. But how good is our God? Come on, we are his church. We are the church. He loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. He is so in love with us. And today, I so enjoyed putting this message together. So I hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoyed putting it together. But this is the thought. We are the church, and I've entitled the message, You Are Welcome at the Banquet Table. You are welcome at the banquet table. Let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are so big, you are so mighty, you are so for us. And Lord, we want what you have for us. And so God, today I pray that we would be uplifted, that we would be encouraged. Lord, that we would desire all that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Scroll, highlight. If something gets prompted to you, write it down, take note. Otherwise, I have prepared some slides for you, as always. So you can read along on the screen. We're going to start in verse 1, Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus said this. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened cattle have been killed and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. Next slide, team. And he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. So now go out to the street corners, invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. And then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. First of all, let's talk about the feast. This whole parable, the great feast, it is a picture of a wedding feast. And, you know, I want to put to you today that I think that There could have been a whole difference in our relationship with God right now, but for one letter. Now go with me on this, church, because one letter could change everything. Like, you think about it, in all the Old Testament, what did they celebrate? The feasts. Like, always celebrating feasts. Like, forget just Easter and Christmas. Like, imagine all the other feasts that the Jewish people got to enjoy and still enjoy. And heaven starts with a wedding feast, but yet you and I are called to prayer and fasting. Can you imagine? Just with one letter, just the letter E, our whole world could be changed. Imagine, prayer and feasting. How cool would that be? Hey, who loves a good feast? Yes, who loves cooking? Hands up if you enjoy cooking. Yes, me too. I love cooking. My wife, not so much. She cooks to survive. If I'm not at home, it is, I kid you not, 2-minute noodles, yes, to this day, and a can of tuna, and loves it, absolutely loves it. And that's like a feast for her. If she can't be bothered, which is pretty often, it is Marie biscuits and a cup of tea. That's dinner. Yes. That's wild. Me, man, I'm like pork belly, get the fat like super perfectly crispy, like the broccolini with like the goat's cheese and little drizzle of the beautiful sauce and roasted pine nuts in the pan dry fried. I'm like, man, I cook to thrive. Like, I love cooking. And I learned very early on that if you cook, you get to cook the way you like it. Like the right amount of salt, which is too much, and the right amount of butter, which is generous portions of butter. Like, feast, come on, like prayer and feasting. How cool would that be? Anyways, that's not doctrinal because we are meant to endure through prayer and fasting. I'm joking. We are meant to enjoy prayer and fasting. It is something that kills the flesh, grows our spirit, and we enjoy that time with God. But I want us to unpack the feast, this parable of the feast. In Matthew chapter 22, this parable is the climax of a series of judgments on the religious elite that Jesus was dealing with. There's a confrontation going on in this time. And before Matthew chapter 21, we went through it recently a couple of weeks ago. Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem. He's heading resolutely. He knows what he wants to do. He's pulling people in. He's revealing the way the kingdom of God is meant to be lived out. And he wants to go to Jerusalem. He wants to die for his people. He loves humanity. He enters, he cleans the temple, curses the fig tree. I remember when I first read that, like, I was like, God, why? And then I studied into it. I was like, wasn't even the season for figs to be growing, but it's a symbolization that we have to be fruitful. And not just in season, but in all seasons. And it's a judgment on unfruitfulness. He teaches these parables, tells the parable of the tenants, and then directly confronts Israel's leaders for rejecting God's messengers and his son. After the series of confrontations, Pharisees, Sadducees, and teachers of the law test Jesus with questions about taxes, resurrection, and the great commandment. And I love the response of Jesus. All of this is going on, and he's questioned, what's the most important thing? And I love the response of Jesus because he goes, love God. And a second, equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love others. I love that. Silences and pronounces woes on the Pharisees. And he shares the parable of the great feast. Let's unpack the feast for a moment before we really get into it today. The story portrays the kingdom as a banquet, as a wedding feast. And so Jesus is using the kingdom of God pictorially to present it to us as a wedding feast. The intentionality of a wedding feast is incredible. You think about the weddings that we have these days. You think maybe you've been married. You think back to your wedding day. You didn't just throw it together, you know, the next day and Bob's your uncle and Robert's your father's brother, you know, and that was the end of it. No. There was desire. There was design. And you think about the point that it's not just a feast. There's a banquet table. It's laid out. It's set. And then you think about what this means for us and who is preparing this for us. And how much he is doing to prepare this for us. And there is a desire, not just for a feast, but for people to be present at the feast. You think about what, it's not just that we get to enjoy what is on the banquet table and partake of that, but we get to partake with people. But then even more than that, it's not just about what we're going to partake or who we're going to partake with, but what it's all about. Jesus, our bridegroom, we are the bride, we are the church, we are his people. This is what God is desiring for you and I. And so It's a place of joy, of celebration, of relationship, and it's for us. God initiates the invitation. You think about this, entry is not earned, it is freely given by grace. But those invited reject the invitation, like the rich young ruler. Is there some level of human resistance to the grace of God in your life? Is there something that, like the rich young ruler, is blocking you from desiring to be at the banquet table, from desiring all that God has for you to partake? Often it's pride. We allow pride to creep in. It's apathy, distraction with worldly affairs. And we allow these things to pull us away from having desire of relationship with Jesus. And so Jesus tells of a king who prepares a wedding feast for his son. And he sends his servant to invite guests, but they refuse. Some go back to their work. Others mistreat and kill the messengers. They make excuses. Oh, my business, my land, personal matters. The king punishes them and then extends the invitation to anyone on the streets, to the highways and the byways, both good and bad, the poor, the blind, the lame. The hall is filled. But Jesus points out one guest gets thrown out for not wearing the wedding clothes. We're going to get to that in a minute. Let me give you some key thoughts around this parable. Firstly, rejection by the privileged. And so what did Jesus do? Invitation to the is extended to the marginalized. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, to those who recognize that they are sinners and are in need of a savior. That's who Jesus came for. And there's an urgency and an openness to the kingdom. The feast is ready. The cattle have been fattened and killed. Like, the table has been laid. It's like, I'm not waiting. Now is the time. Go, let's get out there and let's invite. And you know what? If they don't want it, go to anyone and get as many as you possibly can and bring them in. There's the excuses that reflect misplaced priorities, worldly concerns over eternal things in our life. But then there's the responsibility to respond appropriately. It's not just about showing up. It's about showing up ready. It's about wearing the wedding clothes, symbolized by that wedding garment. Being invited doesn't mean automatic acceptance. It's got to be acceptance and transformation. Grace is not cheap. It's free, but it is not cheap. It has cost the highest of prices. It has cost the highest of cost. Grace transforms the one who receives it. Showing up isn't enough. Being clothed appropriately, that's on us. That's our part to play. Judgment is real. Judgment is real for those who dishonor the invitation. God's kingdom is not for the self-righteous. God's kingdom is for those who, in humility and willingness, lean in. We respond to the call of Jesus and we humble ourselves and we desire it. We repent. We come before Him. We want the love of Jesus in our lives. The kingdom of God is a banquet. Freely offered, generously prepared, widely extended, and joyously prepared. But it's not casually entered. While many are invited, many will choose not to come, and then there's some that will come, but they will not be ready to honor the king. The parable calls us to respond to God's grace with urgency. Embrace His transforming work with humility and boldly extend His invitation to others. Let me go through the wedding guests, those invited to the wedding guests. You know, like I said before, there's a lot of intentionality that goes into a wedding. There's lots of care, there's lots of design, there's lots of desire around the wedding day. Generally more so by the bride, I would say. Like, it's the dream come true moment. It's the day that they've been dreaming about, and it's awesome, and so they should. It's a good thing. For the guy, it's more about the honeymoon, I think. I mean, it was for me anyway. I was like, I couldn't wait for the honeymoon. It's like, let's go. Like, wedding day, good, yeah, lots of fun. It's all about everyone else, though. Honeymoon, that's all about us. Come on, that's the good part. Anyways, this is a wedding feast that you and I are welcome. But you think about this, first of all, how did someone get in that shouldn't have been there? And why? How did someone make it in? How did someone enter heaven? How did someone get into the wedding feast? How did someone get into that place? Like, that no one noticed. It wasn't something that humanity was able to notice. But the king comes in to welcome the guests, and the king sees someone that no one else was able to see. And it's because it's not an outward thing, but it's an inward garment. It's not an outward garment. The outward shows and reveals the inward. Man judges by the outward exterior, but it's God who sees the heart and judges the heart. Have a look at this. This is from the Revelation to John. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. He said, I saw a vast crowd. I love this. This gives me so much joy and hope for humanity. I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. It's like Sundays, you know, from every suburb, from every culture, from every historical background that you and I have, we come together and we rally together to be encouraged and to encourage a snippet of what heaven is going to be like, but so much better. I mean, imagine all the good times without the sin. Think about it. Imagine everything that you love about life, all the good, the abundant life that Jesus has come to give us. And then think about that void of loss and hurt and pain and suffering, void of sin. There is so much for you and I to look forward to, church. And Jesus says, the king calls this person friend. Friend. How did you get in here without a wedding garment? See, we are the friend of God, but we have to be the friend. There are those who are in the church but are not of it. The hypocrite. I know that's strong language, but that's the language that Jesus uses. The sharp question exposes a man who appeared to belong but lacked true devotion. The word friend is ironic because it's highlighting someone who is pretending to be a friend of Christ, but there's no true devotion in their heart. It exposes someone who appears to be the friend, someone who looks the part, talks the talk, walks the walk, but whose heart is far from true friendship. There are those in the church that claim to love Jesus but don't live in obedience to him. This is our part to play. The king doesn't blame the servants for letting someone in. The king doesn't, you know, question why this happens. The wedding garment represents an inner condition that leaders can't always see. It's not up to us anyway. That part's up to God. Praise God for that. But the man is held to account. We have to come into relationship with God. We have to choose to respond. We humble ourselves, we repent, we come before him, and God, with the highest of price, grants us eternal life. God sees all, knows our heart. And I love this because being known by him needs to be our creator. Like, God has seen it all, knows it all, yet still chooses us, still loves us, desires us, wants you, desires you, is preparing a place for you, cannot wait to spend eternity with you. Jesus put it like this. Have a look. We need to be known. Not everyone, Jesus said, who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. So I'm getting somewhere with all of this. Let's now have a think about this, how to be clothed and how to ensure that we have a seat at the table. How to be clothed and how to ensure that we have a seat at the table. And I want to encourage you, first of all, to simply be like Jesus. To be clothed and to have a seat at the table, live like Jesus. Look at how Jesus lived. Look at what he stood for and reflect that. We are to be a mirror of the heart of God. What the gospel teaches us to show that to the world around us. And you think about this, honestly, it all sounds really too good to be true. And some of you think, man, can this really be the case? I mean, you think about this. Jesus makes the invitation. He also made the feast and he's preparing a place for us. And he covers us, and he clothes us, he makes us right, he takes away our punishment, and he rewards us, and on top of all of this, desires us, and more, and wants to spend all of eternity with you. Like, think about this, all the good we do gets rewarded, and all the bad we do gets covered. Like, it sounds too good to be true. And if you think about it, it really is, but that's the offer of Jesus Christ to you and I, to come into relationship with him and that he would cover us, but that he would reward us, that he would champion us, that he would give to us the abundant life. That's our God. How awesome is our God? You know, there is a table waiting. In Revelation, Jesus said, look, I stand at the door. He stands at our heart and he knocks and he's hoping, waiting that we would let him in. And it says, I will come in and I will dine with them and share a meal with them as friends. How awesome is our Jesus? That is our God. That is our Jesus. So our part to play, the highways and the byways, invite them, bring them in. The inclusiveness of the gospel message is awesome. And you got to think about this. This was messing with the religious leaders of the day. But this is ours to promote. This is ours to promote the inclusiveness. All are welcome at the banquet table. And church, that includes you. And you're able to come to the banquet table. Be clothed. Put on Christ. That's what it tells us in Galatians 3. Put on, clothe yourself with Christ. Be ready, be wearing the garments and enjoy what God has for us. But it's not just for us, it also includes all of those around us. God has made the invitation, it's both for us and for those around us. Just we don't get to choose who we love. You think about it, you didn't get to choose what family you were born into. Some of you are like, oh, no, Pastor. Yes. But it's true, isn't it? You don't get to choose what family you're born into. You're like, man, why wasn't I born into that family? Well, I want to extend that thought bubble for you just for a moment. Go with me here, because imagine if you were born in another country. Imagine if you were not born in Australia. I mean, some of you weren't born in Australia, but now you're here. Praise God. What a great country to be in. It's blessed. It's crazy. But you know, the truth is the same for all of those around us. Like, you had nothing to do with your birth. Where you were born, at what time, how, into what country, into what religion, into what doctrine, into what faith affiliation, into what world order, just like you didn't choose, neither did any other human being that lives on planet Earth today. No one chooses. They're born. And so I want to encourage you to extend the invitation to humanity. No matter what it looks like right now, no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they believe, we are called to extend that invitation far and wide. I was driving home many years ago, and I was listening to the news one day, and there was this imam that was on the news inviting everyone to come to a mosque down in the south side of Brisbane to pray for the community, because there was a whole lot of stuff going on in the community down there, and I just started getting angry. And I started getting bitter. And go with me on this. Just wait for the end of the story. I was like, this is outrageous.
Like, don't they know? Like how can they forget? Like they hate Christians so much. Like our country is just starting to come against us at the exact same time that there was a whole bunch of stuff starting to really ramp up around churches and around Christian schools and all these different things. And I'm like how dumb can Australia like be? Like they're just getting blinded by what's going on here. And I'm getting really angry as I'm driving home. And then I'm like, man, don't they remember like 9/11? Like there's literally planes into buildings and like, you know, the Quran even tells people that you're allowed to lie for the advancement of Islam, and like, you know, they hate on Christians so much, but now they're allowing this, and like, have they just forgotten about all this stuff? And I'm getting really worked up and super angry, and it was so wrong. And the Holy Spirit comes into the car and goes, Joe, Jesus died on the cross for those people too. I was like, whoa. Man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I, in that moment, was hating, committing murder in my heart. And the Holy Spirit started to deal with me in that moment, revolutionizing me in a moment in my car on the way home from just listening to the news. And I thank God for His love and grace in my life. And the Holy Spirit's like, you know what, Joe, they're more devout than you. They pray more than you. They pray 5 times a day. And I'm just starting to think about all these things that, you know, Muslims do. And I'm like, and he's like, how awesome is that? You know, you don't even have to go to them. They're coming to you. They're in your country. You're literally able to just reach out and evangelize. And like one sidestep in their devotion, they could be introduced to Jesus. Imagine how awesome a Christian someone like that would be. And I was so convicted, but yet then so inspired. And I was crying and I was repenting to God. And I was like, God, forgive me. I can't believe I was thinking like this. And I started to have my heart changed in this moment. And I realized people don't get to choose where they're born. They don't get to choose into what family they are born. They don't get to choose what they're being taught until it comes to a day where they are introduced to Jesus. And then the choice begins. You look, this is the most famous verse in the whole Bible. Have a look at this, John 3:16. Sometimes even I forget that this was red letter, that this was Jesus saying this. It's such a quoted scripture. And Jesus said, as He reveals God to us, as He reveals the heart of the Father, for this is how God loved the whole world. The whole world. You don't have to like everyone. And that's really hard to do anyway. It's like, and you actually can't. It's pretty impossible to like you know, some people especially. Like, and you're not meant to. You don't have to. You don't have to like everyone, but you do have to love everyone. And it's a reflection of the heart of the Father. The whole world. Humanity. God doesn't love just the people that love Him in response. God doesn't just love Christians. He doesn't just love the church. No, God loves the whole world. He sent Jesus for the whole world. For humanity, and that is for us to extend to those around us. Have a think. Think about this thought. Who do you want to see at the banquet table? Who do you want to see at the banquet table? Who do you want to ensure is at the banquet table? Like when you're seated at the banquet table, when that day comes and you're looking left and right, who do you want to make sure that is there? And what are you going to do about it? How far will you go? How many times will you invite them? What would you do to make sure that they were at the banquet table? Because look at how far Jesus has gone for them. Look at how far Jesus has gone for us. What He has done, what He endures, what He is putting up with, what He is preparing for us. I want to encourage you, let that desire that you have build and grow, that you wouldn't be seated at the banquet table without someone else being there that you would really want to be there. Today, let me encourage you, be more like Jesus. Let's be like Jesus. Can I get the band to come back up, please? Let me finish with a couple of encouragements for us today. Number one, desire the table. Desire to be there. My friend, you are welcome at the banquet table. Desire to be there. Desire to be at the table. Number two, don't be too busy for the banquet table. Don't be too busy to be at the banquet table. Don't get caught up and distracted in temporal things, things that only matter for this time. Yes, we have to do things that matter for this time, but above all else, seek first the
kingdom of God. Don't be too busy to be at the banquet table. Number three, be dressed for the banquet table. Am I trying to be part of God's kingdom on my own terms? Or have I truly clothed myself in Christ? Come on, don't allow yourself to become spiritually complacent. Come on, we can slip into it. Sometimes we all struggle. Come on, you know the battlefield of the mind when we start to, you know, doubt. And sometimes, you know, I'm like, man, am I saved? Am I 100% saved? And, you know, then I start, oh man, surely the Lord will let me in. And like, all of us struggle. All of us doubt. You know, sometimes I'll even start praying in tongues. I'm like, oh, so we've got the Holy Spirit. Okay, awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'm like, God, what more can I do? And don't become spiritually complacent. Desire to be at the table. Don't be too busy to be at the table. Be dressed for the banquet table. You know, fear God. Don't fear man. Don't fear stuff. Don't give in to the fears of worry or things like that, because God's the only one that can determine your place at the banquet table. Fear God. My last encouragement is this: extend the invitation to the banquet table. It's not just for us. Who do you want to see seated next to you at the banquet table? Come on, church, you are welcome. At the banquet table, Jesus desires you at the banquet table, and the cross proves that to you. Come on, let me say it again. He covers the bad and rewards the good. That's how awesome our Jesus is. Many are called, few are chosen. You become the chosen when you say yes to the call, and you remain the chosen when you keep saying yes to the call. And so I encourage you today, church, just every day, say yes. Yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, what more can I do? Yes, Lord, I will go. Yes, Lord, I will do. Yes, Lord, use me. Every day, you just keep saying yes to the call and you will remain the chosen. Come on, can I encourage you? Sometimes when you think, oh man, am I in the will of God? What if I get out of the will of God? This is how I can encourage you to stay in the will of God in your life. If you are trying to be in the will of God, and you are trying to do what God has asked you to do, like you are actively trying, then can I put to you this morning that I don't believe that you can get out of the will of God. Because that would mean that our Father isn't a good Father and He's a mean ogre up in heaven just waiting for us to take a wrong turn and fall out. And that's not Him. Because if you're trying to do what is right, and you're trying to do the will of God, and you are listening, and you're giving Him that time, like you're actively trying, He will tell you. You will get that gut check. Shouldn't be doing this. Come on, this is blocking you. Come on, there is freedom. Come on, there is more. And you know it all. You get that thought, that answers. Sometimes, you know, in life, we suppress that thought. I know I do it sometimes. And I think, oh, I can handle this, or oh, I can allow that, or I can let a little bit of a mix of this and that in. Come on, let's get out of messing around and clothe ourselves with Christ and chase after desire, the table, not being too busy to be at the table, being dressed for the table and seeing how many other people we can get to the table. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Come on. You don't know your hour. I know that's, I'm not trying to be scary, but it's true. We don't know our hour, and we don't know the hour of the person even standing next to us, and we don't know the hour that He is coming. Our part to play is to be ready and to do what God has asked us to do. And today, in gratitude and in awe, we're going to respond to His invitation to come and to dine at the banquet table, where you are welcome to be seated at the banquet table, where Jesus is preparing a place for you at the banquet table. He loves you. He cares about you. He is for you, no matter what's going on in your life, even right now. Come on, God sees it all. He knows it all. He covers it all. He's taken it on. He pinned it to the cross. He is so for you. Church, He loves you so much. How far He came, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He is willing to do on your behalf. Come on, that is our God. That is our Jesus. And today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open up the altar today because there is so much more that God has on offer for you, whatever it is today. And this is how we're going to administrate this time. It's not quite 12. And the team, I just want you guys to worship in a moment. If you've got kids in kids' church by 12:15, I want you to have gone and got them. Today it's fun day. There's food, there's coffee. If you're new, it's all free. It's on us. We love family time. To spend that time together. There's basketball, there's inflatables, there's lots of fun stuff to do. If you can't stay or if you've received from God and you want to head out today, go whenever you feel welcome to go. But today we're going to open up the altar because I believe God wants to meet with you today. The Bible tells us to taste to see that the Lord is good. And today maybe you need a fresh touch from God in your life to be reminded that He is good. And you just need to feel, maybe you are in a season where you're doubting and you're not sure and you need to just experience the love of God for you today. Maybe there is something going on that you need a miracle in. Taste and see that the Lord is good today. That is you. Whatever it is, there's no specifics around the altar call today other than God is here and He loves you and He wants to make Himself real to you, that there is desire in Him for you. And so taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, church, whatever we go through, He knows. When we go through difficult stuff, it's not because God doesn't like us. Our flesh is weak. Our body is frail. Humanity has free choice. We have to choose to do what is right. We have to choose love. I encourage you today, you are welcome at the banquet table. His desire is you at the banquet table. And so today, before we open up the altar for you to enjoy time with Jesus today, would you just close your eyes? Because I want to just do a moment for salvation. If there's anyone in the room and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you, this is a moment where you can start that. He loves you. He cares about you. The best version of your story is with Him with you. Is Him inside your life. Today, I want to encourage you, if you have never given your life to Christ, or if you know that you need to come back into personal relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you in just a moment to raise your hand and say, yep, that's me. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. And by raising your hand today, you're going to be declaring, I choose Jesus. He said that if we believe in our heart and confess it, He will come and dwell with us, that He will save us, and that He will do life with us. And so right now, if that's you, I just invite you right now to choose Him and to say, yep. And I want to encourage you to be bold and to raise your hand right now, wherever you are. Is there anyone here today? Awesome. Thank you so much. I see your hand. You can put that down. Come on, yeah. Anyone else today? I encourage you. Come on, your heart might be racing. You might not be sure. Can I encourage you? He loves you. He is for you. He cares about you. Is there anyone here and you want to do that? Church, can we just pray a prayer and repeat after me?
And if there's anyone else and you weren't brave enough to put your hand up, I want to encourage you, do some business with God right now. And I want you to pray this prayer with conviction in your heart and mean it. And church, let's encourage this person as we pray together. Dear Jesus, today I choose you. I welcome you in. Today I give you my life. Not just today, but tomorrow and forevermore. I want all that you have for me. Everything, Lord. Take my life and make it the best it can be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate that decision today? Come on, it's the best decision anyone can ever make. Come on, church.